Well, good day to you. It's Joel with The King Country dropping in to let you know that our brand new film, Unsung Hero, is in theaters now.
It's Luke here. We've teamed up with the creators of Jesus Revolution to bring you this adventure of a lifetime. It's a powerful, true story about a family uniting, growing in their faith, and facing the impossible together.
In theaters now, unsunghero.movie for more information.
Rated PG. Parental guidance suggested.
Hi, friends. Welcome to another episode of the That Sounds Fun podcast. I'm your host, Annie F. Downs, and I'm so glad to be here with you today. I'd like to say a special hello to all of our friends who are new around here that started listening last week with John Chris' episode. I'm so glad you're here, and I'm so glad you guys loved that episode. I did too. I thought it was awesome. So I am really, really glad to see you here. Playing in the background is music from our good buddy, Dave Barnes. His new album, Who Knew It Would Be So Hard to Be Myself, just released a couple of weeks ago, and it is incredibly good. So make sure you grab that. Today on the show are two of my dearest, dearest friends, and I am so excited. I love anytime we have a married couple on because they just, I like talking to them, I like listening to them, and I love getting advice from them. So today we have Rachel and Winston Cruz. You may recognize Rachel's name. She is a friend of mine that I met through my work with Business Boutique at Ramsey Solutions. Rachel is also a personality at Ramsey, daughter of Dave Ramsey, and has her own show called The Rachel Cruz Show. She also has best-selling books, tons of great resources. She is amazing. And Winston is equally as amazing, also works at Ramsey Solutions doing real estate. So this is one of my very favorite power couples in my life, two of my very dearest friends. And Winston doesn't ever do interviews, you guys. So I just talked him into it on a random day, and it worked out great. So I hope you enjoy this conversation with two of the very best, Winston and Rachel Cruz. So we are at Ramsey Solutions.
Yes.
We all have drinks from Starbucks. You got a chai, and I made a change to your chai.
You did?
Yes, because there is like a, there is a thing that
you
need to know.
What do you usually get?
Well, I usually get a chai too, but I just, does it taste different to you?
Oh, no, you did. Oh, I know what you did.
What did I do?
Someone I was with did this. You order something weird in it.
Mm-hmm. No, I took the water out of it.
Oh.
I took the water out of it because what it normally does, they normally mix water and chai concentrate and then they add milk to it.
Oh,
if you,
you
remove
the
water, it makes, then they replace that with the milk and you are like good to go.
It feels like thicker.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It is a little bit thicker. Do you like it or not? Do you prefer it thinner? It tastes the same, really.
Sort of.
Okay, that's fine. Wah, wah. Winston, how's your London fog over there?
This is the best. I don't know.
Are you not
There's
a coffee
no filler.
Guy?
There's no weird concentrate stuff. It's just Earl.
Yeah.
And milk.
Yeah. And sweetener,
and well,
right?
There's a shot of that vanilla in there, which probably isn't real. But
yeah, it didn't come from a bean. I'm sorry to tell you.
It didn't. It came from a leaf. But I'm not anti-coffee. Once
no,
I had
drink
this,
coffee
though,
in the morning.
I was
yeah,
done.
Are y'all both coffee in the morning people?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
For how much?
Sure. One cup.
Really?
And sometimes I'll get another one when I get to
Even,
work.
Like, what? Okay, so two during the day usually.
Not when I'm at home. If I'm at home,
just
one. One,
one and done. Even when you're not feeding a child on your body?
I was never feeding a child on my body.
Oh, you aren't at all? Oh, yeah, y'all are doing bottles. That's right. That's right. That's right. That's right.
I tried.
Right.
To all the women listening, I gave it a really good go.
Oh, my gosh. Are people so judgy about that? It's surprising. I have seen
yeah,
a lot
say
of,
so. I mean, I would say so.
I can answer even if you can't because I've never done it, so no one's ever been judgy in my direction.
I know. Well, the first one only lasted like 3 weeks with Amelia.
Yeah.
It was horrible. I mean, I was like kind of in depression state for like 2 weeks or so because you just feel guilty. You want, like, it's just all,
right.
all the things, all the
right.
feelings. But with Caroline, the second one she came around, oh gosh, like, I'm going to be honest.
Didn't even try. Don't.
No, I did for like a few days. And then I was like, I told my pediatrician, I was like, listen, my life is just so much more easier.
Right.
Every two bottles. So
easier meaning I can help.
Yeah,
I,
know, that's right.
I think that's what she meant.
That too.
It's so much better because I don't want to do, I just do half.
Yeah. When I am feeding,
and I can
it's whole.
Leave and yeah. I can try, I can do things I need to do.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's me.
Okay. So one cup. What about you, Winston?
I'm one in the morning and then I'll see how the day goes.
Oh,
yeah.
To be determined every
yeah.
single day.
The more cups I have, the chattier I get. And so if I have an office day, I don't need as much.
Your words go
If I
up.
Have a meeting day, I need more.
Tell everybody the word stat, female and male.
Word stat. On average?
Yeah, yeah.
This is just what I read. Men, 7,000 words a day. Women, 20,000. I don't know why they didn't just round up to 21 and make it. And so you could say they talk three times as much.
So in your household, what's that math? 60,000.
Let's assume they're all talking.
Right. That's fair. One of them isn't talking, but Amelia
they're
makes
trying
up for both
to,
of them.
But let's do women talk three times more than men in a day. I've got three girls at home, one being Rachel. So whatever three times three is, I'm outnumbered 9 to 1.
Yeah.
And you're an introvert anyways.
Okay, so are you saying I'm below 7,000?
Okay.
Possibly.
Right.
So I'm less than 7,000. One of these, they need pedometers, but for your words.
Oh, my
word
gosh.
Counting.
How did they come up with that science? Someone must
Fitbit
have counted.
Needs to get on it.
Yeah, let's invent that. Don't copyright. We're dropping the copyright right here. Don't anybody steal it.
Got the idea.
Patent it.
Hurry up.
Yeah. Quick.
Okay, but really, how did someone must have, some scientist intern, they were like, listen, we need you to go sit with this woman. You need to follow around all day and just tick off every time she talks. And
could you imagine?
Oh, gosh.
Or just go back home and play that transcript again and count every time. Two times slower. Honestly, if you're listening to this podcast, I'd go two times faster. But
do you know what? When people do the half, I get comments a lot that when people put it on half speed, because a lot of people listen to podcasts on 1.5 or 1.5 speed.
Yes.
I do that as well sometimes, especially if it's like a learning one or something that I just want to get through. And when you do it on half speed, they're like, y'all sound so drunk. Because it's like, you guys.
Listen.
Yeah.
No water in the chat.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. That's totally what everybody says. Everybody's like, I mean, I get that message all the time. Like, I accidentally listened to this on half speed, or I listened to this on double speed, and I didn't know I was until you laughed and sound like a dolphin.
Yeah,
I was like, yeah, yeah, I get it.
Understand.
Yeah. Okay, so here's the thing people should know. We're real life friends who spend a lot of time together away from work. This is our first time really spending work time together.
And it's so funny. I was like, Annie, this is crazy.
I know. So it kicked off two summers ago. We started eating dinner once a month.
Yes.
Just because I have found in my life that there are friends that if I will schedule time with regularly, it's the best way to make sure we always see each other.
Yep.
And that is what we do. And then we have some drop-ins. Sometimes, other times, but scheduling regularly.
Wind down Winston Wednesday is what
that's right.
So it's always a Wednesday night.
It's always around Winston.
All around
the
end.
Yeah. It's been great. Honestly, I have gotten to the point where 3 weeks into the 4 week, schedule, I'm like, when is this going to happen again? Where is everybody? How long do we have to wait?
I know. It's
to
great.
To do this again.
I love it.
And our girls love Annie.
Oh, well,
Amelia.
Oh,
I'm always like, Amelia,
give me more kisses. Give me more kisses.
She does. Annie's coming over tonight. Oh, she gives me all the kisses.
It's so fun.
You're so great.
She woke up last time, and the first thing she said in the morning was, did Annie leave?
One of these days,
well,
I'm not going
she
to.
She just left. We pulled an all-nighter. Yeah. Actually, you just missed her.
We joked all night long. Yeah, we could do it. I bet
Annie
we could
just,
do it.
Yep.
So I say all that for people to have background, but also because I have a couple of questions of things we've never talked about that are work-related.
Right. Because that's another thing people need to know. We don't talk about work at all, really, when we're together.
I don't think
it's
so.
It's life. Like, we're just, so that's the other thing.
We just
like,
live life.
We don't really, we'll catch up on work sometimes.
Yeah.
But we don't talk about work, so I'm super
curious. So my first question is to Winston, but I have one for you, too.
Great.
Winston, before you, so you and Rachel have dated since college. Well, you're married now, but you dated in college.
Yeah.
Were you as budget-centric and budget-thoughtful growing up as you are married to Rachel Cruz?
Not at all. No.
Really?
No. Our first couple of dates, I would say like for the first 6 months to a year, I paid for everything on my Capital One Eagle.
Card. Yeah.
and I had like a $500 limit on there. Now, I will say, so I haven't always just said, all right, I'm going to start every month on paper and run my numbers out. But I do have a natural nerd tendency.
Yeah.
But when I met her, I didn't know anything about her family or Dave or anything. But I do have, I have tendencies to just be nerdy and on paper and kind of plan through stuff. And
you're a saver naturally.
And that helps. I'm a natural saver. So,
yeah.
So it didn't take me long to learn. You know, I didn't grow up like crazy money, bad decisions, but.
Rach, all the stories that Dave, so Dave Ramsey's your dad, we should say that for people who don't know.
Oh, yeah.
All the stories that Dave tells from stage about like bankrupt and losing things, do you remember all that? Or was that before you? Or is that when you were so little you don't remember?
Yeah, so they filed bankruptcy the year I was born.
Okay.
So they filed, or I was born in April, they filed in September. So I was like, what, six-ish months old?
Right.
So no, so that, yeah, I don't remember any of that. Yeah. But the repercussions of that, you know, because it takes years to kind of climb out of that hole and all of that. I mean, but, you know, things like shopping at consignment sales, that's where we got our clothes, and we never went on vacation. We go camping with tents, and, like, that was, like, the gig for years. I mean, like, we just never,
I never
went on an
camping.
Airplane. Oh, isn't it horrible?
It's the worst.
Do you like it? Winston loves it.
Yeah, I do.
Really? Like, sleeping outside?
And I'm liking it more the older I get and the more girls that I have.
Really?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Why? 7,000 word count.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. He's not going to talk to you tonight because he's going to have used literally 3 days worth of words in this podcast.
I'm sleeping outside tonight. You either like it or you don't. I understand people that don't. I mean, it's terrible. It's uncomfortable. It's
What is it you love about it then?
Just like a different. It's just a way to like get rid of everything going on in your life and basically feel close to God and feel close to the people that you're with, because you're generally just sitting around a fire and trying to figure out how to, you're going to eat food, because it's kind of hard to, you know, you realize, like, I don't do this all the time. I'm trying to cook something. But, yeah, it's just, it's nostalgic to me.
Will you say y'all's Enneagrams number real quick, numbers real quick, and then we'll go back to your questions. What are you?
A five.
Yeah, you're a five.
Three.
A three. But a three that I love. Man, I'm getting a lot of pushback from threes. There was a guy who hosts a podcast who's a three, and he said, I don't know if she'd want to come on because of how she feels about threes.
I know. Well, Annie, you have any comments? And I was like, Annie, and you're like, what's the guy threes?
I know, but then like last week was John Chris was on the show, and he's a three, and I think he's awesome.
Yes, totally.
And so, yeah, threes are, they're recovering. I'm a recovering three.
I thought I was a seven. Like, when I read all the descriptions,
you do have it in you.
I was like, man, I'm a seven.
Yeah.
And I was like, a three? What's a three? I don't even know what a three. And I was like, oh, man.
Yeah, that's why you have the Rachel Cruze show. Sure, three. I mean, that's a real three thing.
And you have That Sounds Fun.
And I have That Sounds Fun. Exactly.
How horrible is that sound for me?
No,
sorry,
no.
It's a branding thing.
No, no, no. Mine is That Sounds Fun with Annie F. Downs. You know that I'm such a stickler about having the F, so I'm just like you.
Yes.
Okay, how old were you when you started actually budgeting for yourself? Because my parents made me start living by this percent goes in a savings envelope, this in a tithe envelope, when I was like in fifth grade, probably.
Oh, sure. Oh, yeah, that elementary school.
Yeah.
Yeah. A mini form of budgeting, but you have your envelopes. You get paid once a week from the chores you did. If you didn't do the chore, you didn't get paid.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that whole thing. Totally. Yeah.
Tell me how you, this is kind of a deep question that I would like for both of you to think about and answer if you want. How do you think of tithing differently because it's always been part of your life versus something you chose to do as an adult?
I think,
and tithing is giving to the church, by the way, for people who don't know that.
Yeah, that's 10% is the tithe. Yeah. I think it changed dramatically once Winston and I became a family and had kids.
Really?
Yes, because I think the church, when you're a parent, for me, it just, the church plays a different role. Suddenly now, yes, I want to be able to enjoy church and be fed by the church and serve at the church, all of that. But now it's so much more magnified for my kids. So now it's like I ask, okay, so where's the children's ministry? What's the, you know what I mean? Like I have different factors of the church that are almost more important than they obviously would have been before kids.
Right.
So for me, I feel like I'm supporting when I tithe. Not only is it just, I believe, obedience and, you know, in scripture, whatnot. And I have that conviction specifically for me, but I don't know. It's just when I'm giving to the church now, there's just more elements to it for me in a deeper way, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
And I think it's probably after having kids, after having a family.
That's really interesting.
Yeah.
Did you grow up tithing, Winston?
I saw my parents tithe.
Yeah.
I mean, it was like super Presbyterian, silver bowl with the velvet in the bottom. So I knew that they were giving, but we didn't talk about how much or how often or
whatever. When did it become real for you?
It became real for me when I started earning a paycheck, having a family, aka just marrying Rachel. It didn't take kids for me. And going to church consistently, because then all your decisions, your big life decisions are made. You're committed to a church. And I'm not saying that you couldn't, you know, give your money to another nonprofit that is, you know, kind of God-centered and not the church. But tithing for me, whether it's 10% or just anything, tithing for me, after having kids, after marrying Rachel, going to church consistently is just a repositioning of my heart. I have a little bit, you know, everybody has a tendency to say, do I really want to give, you know, to something that's just going to go into a fund? And then you're trusting the church or God to take it and use it.
And trusting that you're going to be taken care of without that 10%.
Exactly. Yeah. So it is a repositioning of this is an ownership thing and it's not mine. And I have to practice that. And I really think in my season of life right now, practicing tithing is more important from a repositioning of ownership in my heart than it is that I just do it or do 10% or that I'm consistent with it. Like, I know when I need to give because of how it feels when I do it.
Mm-hmm. And I've gone through seasons like that. That emotional pull. I think everyone has, right?
Yeah, yeah.
It's like when you're giving, you're opening your hand and you're letting things go. And that's uncomfortable for people, especially if you don't have a ton of money,
yeah,
right? I mean, and your budget's already tight and all of that. But yeah, I think, yeah, the gravity for me was more kids, yeah.
Winston, I think that's a really interesting language because we spent all of January on the podcast talking about rhythms that we were bringing in. And when John Mark Comer came on and talked about Sabbath, he talked so much about this is a practice.
Mm.
Like, it doesn't feel good. It doesn't feel easy. This is literally a practice. And the more I think about my faith life and the more I think about a practice versus perfectionism really looks like, the more I can come around ideas like, oh yeah, tithing is a practice that we need to just practice, right? You're not going to get it perfect every time. There are months it's going to freak you out or months you're going to go, I can't do it. I'm just not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. But I have also seen that because I had a similar upbringing of like tithing was just always one of the other envelopes. Mm-hmm. And so it was never a choice. And so there's good and bad to that. I mean, that's part of being raised in a Christian home, right? There's really the bad to that is that I didn't choose it. The good to that is that I didn't know a life where I didn't have...
Well, it's a habit
where I had
in your
100%
life.
Of my money.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I had years... We've talked about this before, but I had years here in Nashville where I made significantly below the poverty line and I would never ran out of money.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm convinced that was God doing miraculous things because I always tithed along the way. Mm-hmm. I didn't earn it. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
It's not like he was... God's like, well, Annie's good, so it I'm not. But there is a promise... that when you trust him, he will take care of you.
Yeah.
And man, I mean, at the end of the year, my dad would, because my dad's a CPA, and he would do my taxes, and he'd say, you only made, you know, that much money. Annie, that's like significantly below the poverty line. Are you not telling me something? And I was like, I don't know either.
Yeah.
I just know that
I've been provided for.
Yeah, I was provided for. It all got paid for.
Yeah.
And I was able to still be a little bit generous to my friends and still buy clothes when I wanted to. And I just think tithing is a really interesting thing that maybe it's hard when your church talks about it because you hear them asking you.
Yep.
For sure.
So when the three of us can talk about it, none of us are going to get anything off of people tithing.
Yeah, yeah,
but
right.
At the end of the day, it does come back to God, not because they're talking about it from stage at church, but if you look at your money, where does money come from? It comes from work. Where does work come from? Well, it comes from the gifts and talents that you have, but that you've crafted, but you didn't say when you were born, I want to be born with these certain things. You know, I want to be born an enthusiast and have an incredible podcast. Like, they, all of these things came from God. So everything goes back to God, including your money.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I have to go all the way back there. When you say tithing, it's such a cliche kind of stereotyped word that it carries so much connotation to it. But I got to get all the way back to where does this all come from? It all comes from God and even your money. Your money is a result of certain things that God has given you.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just good for me to practice that and go back and know where the roots are.
And it's been interesting. We've been looking at different churches around Nashville.
Yeah.
So we've been to, I guess, 3 or 4 different ones. And we'll go 2 or 3 Sundays in a row just to kind of get a feel.
I've still got my heart set on y'all coming up to our cross point. I know it's a 40-minute
drive.
She
says every it's a Wednesday. She's like, listen, you all need to
I just want to be at church with you.
I know. So, but it's been a beautiful thing. I think I've fallen in love more with the church
really?
And the local church doing this kind of search. Because I think we've been to not drastically different types of churches, but different evangelical churches. We went to a Baptist church for 2 Sundays in a row. That was really great. I had never really been to a Baptist church, honestly. And I was like, oh, and it's just, I don't know, there was like this beauty in seeing God's children in their own unique way worshiping him.
Mm-hmm.
And a part of me, like along with just the tithe conversation and giving back to the local church, I think that there's been this attitude where it's like, oh, well, when the pastor said this one week at a church we were at, they were like, you know, that people say, well, I'm going to follow Jesus, but oh, the church, you know, it's full of hypocrites. And yeah, the church is not going to be perfect, but it's God's bridegroom. I mean, like that is his love.
Yeah.
And I just grew just a greater appreciation for it. And so being able, knowing that the money that you're giving to the church that you call family that they're using that to hopefully support others outside that building, but also for the function of it running is huge. I think it is. So the local church, I've really grown to love it even more. They're trying different ones and seeing it. I'm like, oh, there's just such uniqueness to it. So
the person who says, I know that the tithe, I'm supposed to tithe and give it to my church, but they go, but this thing happened at my church and I can't give money there.
Then you don't need to be going.
That's what I would say too.
Yeah. How are you going to trust your spiritual life or your kid's life or your marriage to leadership that you don't trust with your money? I mean, money, it reveals so much of people's character and who they are. And if they made a decision that you morally or, you know, disagree with, that makes me... But granted, money's like the thing I talk about all the time. So it's the forefront.
That's why I'm asking, it's
definitely a lens.
Yeah.
And if they're not handling money well at the church... What else have they not handling well? I mean, it just, it builds up. It's a huge reflection, a huge reflection.
I would put a timestamp on it though. Make it a season, make it intentional. So if once, like the minute you make your mind up on that, the next minute you should be saying, all right, I'm going to give to something in this next couple of months. And I'm also going to get on the horse and try to find something else.
Yeah.
If you're already a church goer. Yeah, I would say that.
Yeah. And I think there's something about
we're like, just leave,
just leave,
leave. It's like, what?
And never look back. If you're in Middle Tennessee, you might just drive down the street.
Exactly how it goes with the three of us. Where me and Rachel are like, you know what? And Winston's like, I'm gonna pump the brakes right now. But I also think that there's a real. I think if you're sitting there every week, but you're having a problem. Could you still tithe and kind of go like, this is what perseverance looks like right now. I'm sad. I've had my feelings hurt. I've had a situation come up. I don't think I'm supposed to go somewhere else yet, but I'm not going to withhold my money.
Yes, because that's more between you and God.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah,
if that's the
right,
case.
That's right.
Yeah, for sure. And especially if you feel like you're still called to that specific place.
Yeah. I think there are missionaries to support, and I think all that's really good too, but the tithe is for the church.
It is, yeah.
I mean, that's what we're supposed to do.
And it sounds legalistic, and I hate for it to sound like that, because my goal for people is to be wise with their money so that money is freed up ultimately to give, right?
Yeah.
And so to give beyond the tithe would be my prayer for people even.
So everybody here, all the personalities at Ramsey kind of have a lane. Like Christie's is business boutique that we both get to be at and love.
Yes.
And Hogan's is retirement. Like what's kind of your lane? Marriage and money?
No, not yet. I mean, we have an event around that. And so that's definitely new content that I'm kind of pursuing for sure. But overall, I mean, I think it is the general money message, getting out of debt, budgeting, looking for the future, saving. But a lot of the people that follow me are women.
Yeah.
And working moms.
Who are dying to meet Winston, which makes me so happy.
Can we talk about that?
I was going to say, she said the marriage thing was some content that she was working on. So I guess we need a few more years.
Yeah.
Wait till we hit 10, then we're ready.
What are you now?
Relationships.
Eight.
Yeah. Relationships is a huge part of my message for sure. But
I'm kidding.
I know.
She's like still crafting it. Still waiting on a few more fights to put in the book.
Oh my gosh.
No. I'm kidding.
I will say though, Winston has never done, because I used to do video blogs a whole lot, and there's a ton on YouTube. So that was like one of my main ways of getting content and my message out. Never been on one. We have the Rachel Cruz Show.
Yeah.
Never been on the Rachel Cruz
Show.
Now
he's going to have to be.
Yo.
And all this stuff. And literally, we're at Wind Down Winston Wednesday 2 months ago. And Annie was like, y'all, I'd love to have y'all on the podcast. Winston was like, yeah, sure, Annie. When should we come?
Boom.
I was like, excuse me?
That's right. There's a whole lot of reasons why I would agree to that and not other things.
Oh my gosh. So I'm going to have to send all.
It's because I got him at home. I got him in a comfortable state.
I was comfortable. You won't see me on video. Like, have you ever stared at a video camera? There's nothing looking back at you. It's just like,
yeah, we both.
What do I talk
do
to now?
I know
it's terrible.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Let's go back to the Enneagram. Like, not a lot of fives out there on video.
Oh, listen, I don't think I've had a lot of fives on the show. You may be one of the only fives.
Wow.
You investigator, you.
Yeah. Yeah. You came out.
I evaluated all my options before I committed to this.
Oh, I bet you did.
Right.
I bet you did.
This is my third podcast, y'all. I'm really getting out there.
Who were the other two?
I did an entree leadership podcast.
Okay. Because you know Maggie, or you don't
on
know,
family business.
Maggie will link to all these so people can get their full drink of Winston.
Yeah. I'm not mentioning the second one then.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you gave your card too soon.
Oh, shoot.
And then this one.
So, wait.
Third time's a charm.
You really won't mention, I just have to take this off for a second because it's making my head sweat. Just 1 second. I gotta get my hair all the way.
Oh, let's take a chai tea break.
Oh my gosh. Everybody take a tea break. Is it always Earl Grey for you?
Because it's not for me. I put English breakfast in my London Fog.
Okay. I'll do English breakfast with honey at Cracker Barrel.
Where was that?
What? At the beginning of the conversation.
I mean, you're asking me my preferences.
This is how podcasts go.
And you can't say
every
time I do Earl Grey.
Like, no.
If it's Starbucks, 8 out of 10 times for sure.
Not over coffee even.
Mm-hmm.
It's always going to be, okay, wow.
Yeah.
I should start bringing you home because, you know, when we're on the road, we have riders where we tell people what to have in the room, like what snacks to have.
Yeah.
And I often say English breakfast tea, and often, which is totally fine, and I'm so grateful to be there, I get Earl Grey. And so I should just
start. Both the same caffeine level,
Yeah, but Earl Grey tastes like.
It's different.
Yeah, it tastes like I'm at my grandfather's fireplace and I'm drinking it. That's how it tastes to me. Well,
like a sip of that now.
You're starting to speak my language. I'm an old soul. I like camping. I drink tea.
You love to hunt, bike, run, all sorts of things.
Wow.
Throw that out there. It's true, folks.
How did we get off on this topic of video?
This is literally how every episode goes. I mean, that's why I only have my friends, because I don't know how to interview people. I just know how to talk to my friends.
Annie,
that's right.
Yes, you do. You're so good at it.
It's literally just my friends.
I'm picturing your fire on the TV right behind us, the TV fire.
Yeah.
And sitting on your couch in the living room.
That's right. That's where we are. Good eye in your mind. Okay, so here's the... Y'all are the third... I hope I'm getting this right. I think you're the third couple we've had on, married couple.
Oh.
And so, which I really love, Mike and Molly were on about a year ago, Harris and Kate were on, and I think those are the only ones. I've been really racking my brain to make sure I got that right. But I think it's really fun because a real benefit in my life is being friends with my friends and their husbands.
Yes.
I think it is like such a gift when you can be friends with both people in the couple, and so you're one unit. So I would love for y'all to tell how you met. Tell your like love story. It's Valentine's month. It's just right after Valentine's. People are recovering. They're eating the old candy now. Tell us your love story.
We have the short version and like the true version.
Ooh, interesting.
Let's go true, because I know how to even shorten that one.
I'll just say short. We met through Young Life.
Oh, that was too short.
But if people ask, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
But people ask, like, oh, how'd you and sweet? We met through Young Life.
You can give money to Young Life.
At the university.
That's right. Yeah.
That is not the local church.
No, give, not tithe.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's right.
Were you both
leaders?
That's the short
UT's
version.
Yes.
Okay.
But we met before we even were leaders, so you can go the longer true version.
When I, like, shook her hand.
You remember?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
She was showing up to my rental property with my new roommate, who we had just moved in together, and they were on a quasi-date. And I said, hey.
I do not know this part of the story.
Nice to meet you.
And you said, I will steal that girl.
And they leave, and I'm like, wow, how long is that going to take to, you know, kind of run its course? And so I just...
So you literally remember shaking her hand.
And I shook your hand. You
signed up for notifications on that one. Like, keep me posted. On how that goes, because, you know, he's sleeping on the other wall.
Notifications. What did you think, Rach?
She doesn't remember.
Oh, that's fair.
Well, I remember he was good looking. He had a few other roommates there that I met at the same time, and they were all good looking guys, and I knew they were Young Life, so I was like, oh, they're believers, and
were
like,
you
that's
freshman?
Cool.
Granted, yes.
Yeah, I was actually before classes started, so I was in sorority rush the week before classes started.
How'd you know the guy you were on a quasi date with?
His cousin set us up.
Okay.
Yeah.
And was that like a first date? He took you back to his house?
No, that was like a third date.
Oh, was he in the wedding?
It was real quick, by the way. It was just an in and out.
He was just
touring the house.
Sure.
Yeah. So yeah, in Knoxville. Yeah, and he's a great guy. And then I may or may not have dated one more roommate. I went on a few dates with another roommate.
Girl, right?
My theory is she was just trying to stick around the house long enough
She was waiting on you to be alive.
But my problem with dating in college, because I didn't really date in high school. So when I got to college, I was like, if any guy asks me out, I'm going to say yes. Like,
we'll
go to dinner.
Yeah.
So they did. I mean, yeah. So I was like, sure.
Yeah.
Okay. But in the back, and then underneath all of that, that's funny. But his sister, Charlotte, is my age.
Got it.
And so we got put through Young Life together in a small group my freshman year. And so I met her like the first week classes started, right?
Okay.
So like the two roommates that I had been on dates with, Charlotte was my friend through all of that, right?
And once so that's like you shake his hand, have no idea he's connected to Charlotte when you meet her.
Yeah. And then Charlotte's calling me saying, have you met Rachel Ramsey? And she's this, this, and this, and this, and this. she's always out for my good, you know. Younger sisters, they take care of
me. Attagirl Charlotte.
And they're in your stuff all the time, but she's right. looking out for me. And she wants to be best friends too, with my right? future wife, so for of course sure. there's invested interest.
Yes.
So I put them together, two and two there.
And you went, oh my gosh, that's the girl whose hand I shook.
That's it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then she starts to get to know my family and the circles get smaller.
So that's the best part. So Charlotte and I become best friends.
Yeah.
I mean, she still is to this day. I mean, like and so his parents, I mean, his mom would cook us because they live in Knoxville. We'll cook us dinner. We go spend the night if we wanted out of the dorms. Like Buddy and Helen's house, I went to a lot and I knew them and like loved them.
Yeah.
It was great. And Winston was just the hot older brother that Charlotte had, but I never thought like he'd date me, you
right.
know?
Why aren't you asking her out at this point? Are you still collecting information? You
probably I'm fiving out, you know, still fiving out.
Don't I? No.
I mean,
but there are other girls, right? You did. I mean,
I did the same thing she did. We were both going on dates. And
yeah,
that was it.
You're like, and on a date, and then that I gotta go on a date to make sure she knows I had a date. Okay, you come on.
Yeah, I don't know. I wasn't just like super. I mean, it was your sophomore, junior year of college,
and we didn't really hang out. We were kind of in two different groups a little bit.
Yeah, I wasn't in a relationship. I wasn't like. Serial dating, even.
It was, yeah.
I was just working and going to school.
Mm-hmm. So, like, when you would go over, you and Charlotte would, like, go over and eat dinner. Would you be there? Would you sometimes come along?
Not much.
No.
Yeah.
Mm-mm.
Mm-mm. No.
And you this whole time were just, like, cute older brother, but I'm here for Charlotte.
Yeah. And I say this truthfully. I thought he was out of my league. Because Winston was kind of, like one of the hot guys in Young Life that every girl had a crush on. You know what I mean?
Oh,
it was
sure.
just like, that was him. And so I was like,
I know exactly who you were in college. If you say all that, I totally know who you are. I was friends with that guy.
See a five?
No, I mean, I just know that category.
Oh, yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's what I mean. I don't know exactly you, but now I have a category.
Yes.
Oh, for thank
who
you.
Was that,
thank
yeah,
you.
He yeah. was that guy. So I mean, and that's not false humility. I just genuinely thought, oh, yeah, I'm Charlotte's friend. Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
So then randomly we started talking, I guess,
I called her.
A year and a half later.
Oh, you did? You just like went for it.
I was in Paul Dickinson's car. And
big
I said,
to Paul.
I'm about to make a phone call and I'm going to say the word date. This is not going to be a hangout because a lot of people just hang out and then the girl gets mad because you don't label it. And...
babe.
What?
No, this is not true.
I did. I said, I'm going to take you on a date.
Before that, we hung out like three different times.
Okay.
By ourselves.
The guy gets three times before you say like date time.
Okay.
In college.
Yeah, yeah. No, what about as grown up?
But
we're going to give, you're going to give me dating advice here in just a few minutes.
As a grown up?
Yeah,
as a grown up.
Your dating advice.
Changes. That changes.
You have worked me through multi relationships.
I just hope she agrees with everything.
Yeah, I mean, she did in a second. She said,
nope.
Babe.
Well, I know. So far, I'm not doing great.
No. I know what story you're talking about now. Well, but before he asked me on an official date, we had hung out. Like, you had been like, hey, I want to drive your car and I want to. So we had hung out.
We did like Young Life friend stuff.
Totally.
Coffee, drive.
Let's go to this football game together.
Make out.
Oh yeah,
no, you already making out.
Oh my did gosh. We not make out?
No,
okay. You didn't make out before the date.
No.
Okay, good. So that's good. That's good. That's good reflection on me, right?
Yeah, anyways, and I remember saying
no
to
make
my
out
roommate,
until I say date.
I remember saying to my roommate,
that
if he does
true.
Not ask me on a date, I'm going to say no. I'm not going to hang. I'm not going to keep hanging
You're
out with him
do it again. So you were three and out too
because I was kind of
lucky
in it.
Timing.
And I thought. If he just wants to be quote unquote friends, I don't need another friend that I'm going to hang out with one on one. Like,
thank you.
No. And then that's when he legitimately called the
Little
next day.
Little did I know. She's yes. drawn the line.
And right. Luckily.
And then he did say, I want to take you on a date. And I thought.
What
I,
did Paul say when you. Or,
Paul was just driving. And I was like, I'm doing it right now. I needed like.
Uh huh. Were y'all roommates
in
college? You and Paul?
1 year.
Okay.
Yeah. So I did it. It was great.
And you hung up and he. And what'd you do? I did it.
Roll the window down and like breathe hard or whatever. Whatever you do. High five. Whatever guys do.
High five. I had lunch today with my buddy Dansby,
chest
and he
bumped.
Was telling me about, he was telling me about a date that a friend of his went on, and he said, and then I called him, and I was like, how'd it go? And he said, it went great. He said, that's what I heard, too. Okay, I'm going to the gym. Bye. I was like, that's literally what happens between you guys after a date, because you have no idea.
With a girl.
With a girl.
Geez.
His next question is probably, that's cool, man. Good job. Where are we going to eat tonight?
Yeah. Yeah. And I was like, did you feel like you really got all the information you wanted? He was like, yeah. I mean, she had told me that she liked going out with him, and then he said he liked it, too. And I thought, great.
Good
I was
for
like, man, dudes are so much better at life than we are, or than I am. Dansby, a 24-year-old baseball player, is better at life than Annie Downs is, that is
so
for sure.
So funny.
Okay, so y'all, did y'all ever break up?
Was that like...
Yes.
That was a pure question.
No, I don't think so. I mean, it feels pure right
we did.
Now, but
I broke
as
up,
you start
I broke up
talking
with
about
her.
It, I feel
broke
like
up
I remember
with
this.
Me.
I broke up with her. We started dating like October, November. I broke up with her fairly a couple months after that.
Did you get scared, or did you want out?
I got scared at how quickly it was moving from, like, every aspect.
Yeah.
You know? So
internally and externally.
in you and in the relationship.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so I just said, we need to like reevaluate or get some like sanity among us. Because we were hot and heavy for 3 months probably, right?
We made out a lot.
Yeah. I'm with you.
You said internally, externally. I'm like, if that's how you want to say it, sure.
I meant like in Winston and in the relationship.
Okay. Yeah. No, we were like gas fire. Yep.
Yeah. Because you knew you wanted to marry each other or because you just were so attracted
to each
other?
We had great chemistry.
Yeah.
Yep. Not because, no. The marriage thing was way down.
Yeah, okay, we were, so like, that
was it was a chemistry thing.
Yeah. Okay. And so how long were you broken up?
A few weeks, a month.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah. Probably a month. I don't know. Probably feels longer to you. I mean, it was hard.
It was
I'm serious.
Hard.
It was hard on her.
So hard.
It was hard. I never really dated him seriously. And the one guy that I really liked broke up with me.
I came back to
him. And I, attaboy. But I remember we walked into, he was having lunch with his dad. And now his dad tells the story. So I know that perspective. And he was telling his dad at lunch about a month later, I want to get back with Rachel. I miss her. I think.
At a restaurant they were eating somewhere?
Yes. Okay. And I walk in and I see Winston's truck in the parking lot of the restaurant. And my friend that was with me, she was like, my heart just dropped. I was like,
no.
You know, and she was like, do you want to go somewhere else? And I was like, no, he doesn't affect me. Yeah. I'm fine. And I went and I walked right up to them.
You
and
did.
I gave them both hugs. And I was like, Winston, how are you doing? Are you good? Good. It's great. I'm so glad. I was like just gritting my teeth. But I was like, I just want to prove to him that I don't need him. I mean, just pure pride.
Sure.
In college, whatever thing. And then after I saw him there, he texted me.
I mean, after you walked away, she walked away, was Buddy like, son?
Oh, Buddy said, yeah, Buddy's been like Team Rachel since day one.
Yeah.
So, I mean, yeah, he left it up to me, but he's like, he knows.
Yeah.
He's got 60 years of filter, and he knows what's going on. He knows where Tony hid the wedge, or so to speak. Yep.
You're literally going to have to explain that to both of us.
Well, what? Like, I look to him for wisdom. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm
Who's
looking to
Tony
him.
And Tony what's is the a wedge?
That's like an East Tennessee thing. Like, if you say that, the guy knows the secret to life. So when he saw Rachel, he knows that's a quality girl.
Okay.
And I'm gonna ask Dad, like, what do you think?
Yeah.
And he's gonna tell me
where Tony hid
the wedge.
Have you heard that?
That
should be your new podcast.
Maybe that's Winston. When you start a cop podcast, it's gonna be called "Where Tony Hid the Wedge."
You're gonna start saying that, and people are gonna do that same reaction. You're just gonna tell them it's the secret of life.
Where Tony hid the wedge.
Yeah, he knows. I think you know generally.
I mean,
where Tony
I do when
wedge.
You explain.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah, I for sure.
So
know
I came crawling back. And
you didn't crawl back. I mean,
but it took her a while. Like we had a conversation.
I said I need to pray about it.
Like, I need to
pray.
A girl.
Like, but in my head, I was like, heck yeah,
yes,
heck yeah,
yeah.
But it worked because I went back to the car. Like, dang, she's praying about it.
I said, give me a week.
Had a girl. Did you make him wait a week?
Probably close to it.
Spring break came up, and it was all of a sudden we found ourselves on the same trip.
You're like, we can't
down to the beach.
Make out on spring break.
Yeah. Oh, how'd you get here? I had no idea. And there we were. That's what started it back.
And since then.
Yeah.
Man, I'm really glad y'all worked all that out.
And broken up with her
since.
I
really like Amelia.
There's just one breakup, Annie. Golly.
I know, and we still bring it up every now and then. And he's always like, why do we have to keep talking about this, Rachel?
Rachel loves talking about the breakup.
I don't know. It's just
the only time you ever got dumped in your whole life. Yeah.
So, and not because I dated a ton of people, but just, So
I think it's really, breakups are so good to talk about because it reminds people, A, you can survive pain. And especially when the couple gets back together, breakups where they aren't permanent are good to remember that, like, you don't know what's going on here.
Yes.
You know?
Totally.
And so you go like, man, for that month that you didn't have Winston as your boyfriend, day like 21 was probably super brutal because you had no idea it was ever going to end.
Yep.
And you were healing and healing and something had to happen in that window of time in both of you for it to work.
Yeah, absolutely. So for sure.
How long after that did y'all get married? After college? After you're done with college or after he's done?
After he was done, I got married in college.
At a girl? Hey, I'm for that.
No, I got it. I never
this
thought
is Tennessee,
chance.
Y'all.
I never thought I'd be that girl. I was supposed to graduate college, move to New York, do my career, do my life, you know, whatever it was. Yeah. And I would look at girls. I remember thinking of girls that would get married right out of college and be like, bless their hearts.
Yeah.
Like they just went there and they didn't let themselves succeed. You know, I mean, I had all these preconceived notions about it. And then I get married in college. I was like, I'm the worst of the worst. That's what I thought. Yeah, so I had a semester left of school. So we got married in December. He had graduated. Yeah. And so we had a wedding close to Christmas, December 19th. And then I had my last semester of school, which was just one communication class I had to finish, my 499 class, and then all electives. So I'd wake up and I'd go to walking, social dance, tennis.
Oh my gosh.
I mean, it was a dream. That first 6 months
come
was
home,
fun.
Make casseroles, and I gained 15 pounds in the first
time. You gained your freshman 15 I was like, this at the is start crazy. Of your marriage.
Cream of chicken.
Cream of chicken. Sure. Recipe for six. You know, we're like, sure. We have leftovers for 2 weeks.
Do you feel like you've perfected cooking for your size family? I think that is one of the hardest things is cooking for the amount of people in the room.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I do so less casseroles.
I was about to say, you've never made a casserole I've been there.
It's all the women, that's all the recipes they gave me were all casserole.
All I knew, for sure.
Yes, right?
I mean, until I was allergic to dairy, I could make breakfast, lunch, or dinner.
Casserole all day.
Yeah, I could mix in some.
There might be a casserole that you could eat for all of those. The one, one recipe that you
expand I think a potato casserole, like a hash brown casserole.
Oh, yeah. Oh, good for a new meal.
We're at Cracker Barrel getting your English breakfast and honey.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Give me a side of that hash brown casserole.
For sure.
So good.
That's like a dairy disaster, though. That thing will make me...
Makes you so sad you're allergic to dairy.
I know.
I can't even imagine... I can't imagine. Yeah. I tell you that every time we're together.
I had a real meltdown about it where I was like, I am tired of being allergic to dairy.
Yes.
I was tired.
I would be too.
Golly. It's all right. I survived it. Tell me the number one thing that you have learned, Rachel, as a working woman in a marriage with children, especially with two. What's like the biggest aha you've had in the last 6 months? I mean, I know Caroline isn't 6 months, but like...
No, she is.
Is she right out?
Yeah, just turned 6 months, like last week.
Yeah, that's what I meant.
We haven't had a wind down with someone say since she's been 6 months old.
Right. 2 weeks ago, she was not six
that's
months
exactly
yet.
Right.
That's right.
I would say the biggest thing... I mean, I don't know. There's two things in my head. So one of them is... Christy Wright says this quote all the time, and it's just so true for me as a working mom and wife, that you... cannot have a life balance of 50-50. Like, it's just not going to happen, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, like, it would be great if it would. It's just not going to happen.
Yeah.
So life balance is not just 50-50, but it's about being 100% presence.
Yeah.
And so when I get home, I try to leave my phone at the kitchen table and go play with the girls. Because, I try to disconnect and be present where I am. And same with work. When I'm at work, I try and I work, right? Mm-hmm. So that's one thing for me is just this whole life balance thing. It's thrown out so much, and I just don't. I think it's a myth at times because there's not going to be a quote unquote balance,
that's right.
You know? So that's one thing. And the other thing really is having a supportive husband.
Mm-hmm.
That's been huge. It really has. And our marriage, I feel like, has gotten even better since Caroline's been born. I don't know. I feel like we've reconnected on so many things for some reason, and just like it's marriage has been really good recently. And so I think about if I didn't have a husband who didn't really care about the work I was doing, didn't even really want me working. Didn't ask my input on things, didn't value my, my intellect and, didn't use me as like a partner, if you will, in life. Yeah. That would be really hard.
Yeah. To be accomplishing what you want to accomplish without a husband that could cheer that. Yeah.
Totally.
Yeah.
Because I know there are some guys out there like, I want a wife and I want her to be home and be with kids. Yeah. And that's great, right? Yeah. My mom was a stay-at-home mom and stay-at-home moms, they have a hard job.
But also Dave was fully supportive, just like Winston is for you.
Oh, gosh.
Right? And I see that with my parents too, that for women who choose to stay home, it's just as important that your husband is fully supporting you, not just financially, but also going like, How does this make you feel alive, and what can I do to help you feel alive in this?
That's exactly
whether you're
right.
In the home or in the workplace. Yeah. I think that's really beautiful.
Yeah, and I feel like, too, with the marriage conversation, especially in the Christian community, it just comes up a lot recently. I feel like where people are like, are you egalitarian? Are you complementarian? Right? It's like all these roles in marriage, and that could be a whole other podcast. And not that I'm, I don't have...
We'll put that one on the wedge.
Deep theology that's right on it. But all I know is, it works when you have a husband who values... you emotionally, intellectually, physically, spiritually, all those things.
Yeah.
I, in turn, am so grateful and thankful and respect and trust him so much more. And if that trust wasn't there between us, I think that it could be really hard to be in my seat where I am at work, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Winston, what is it like having a wife that's a public figure? Because that's not what you knew
you know
were
what?
Signing
it's,
up for
it's
necessarily.
Not, it's funny. It's not anything like... principle or moral or something that I'm grew up expecting you know, not to have. It's basically like most of the tension is within my own personality. Mm. Like I know we joke about the video stuff and blah blah blah, blah, but like it's a personality difference. There's a reason she's on stage and I'm not. There's a reason why she loves social media and you can't find me. Mm-hmm. Or it's a personality gap where the biggest tensions will be her travel, because she loves going and speaking and sharing her message and staying in hotels and whatever. Like, I can't stand it. Like, I'm a home guy. I want to be home. That's just my personality. Mm-hmm. I want to do real estate. I don't want to be a public figure. So I'm good with it, you know? But, like, the hardest part is the personality difference.
Yeah. So how do you support her in this? What do you think? Would you have to be different if she was a school teacher?
I don't think so.
Yeah.
Because I have encouraged her giftings, I think. That's been my priority, is saying, I'm not saying this as your husband. I'm saying this as, like, a neutral. You're really good. Mm-hmm. And here's the things that I see. And, oh, yeah, by the way, when you did this hit, like, this is what I liked about it. And then this is, can you believe they did this intro this way?
When he says hit, he means being on television.
That's right.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, sorry. What did I say?
When you do this hit.
When she does this hit.
Yeah, media hit.
Media hit. Oh, there's different kind of hits. I get it.
Oh, well, also, my people don't. I don't. I mean,
she's not like a murderer.
I didn't know a media hit until I started Ramsey world.
Sorry.
That was not, no.
Lingo.
That's why I'm helping.
If she was a school teacher, I'd be like, you're incredible with kids. I don't know how you do it and then come home and be with our kids. I would go bonkers.
Yeah.
And I say, I would go bonkers if I had to do what you do.
Yeah.
I just have a lot of respect for it.
Yeah. I hear you say that stuff to him too, though. I feel like y'all have done a really good job of, I don't know whether it's in you or you choose it, because I've never been married, but it feels like y'all work really hard to say, to actually verbalize respect for each other versus just feel it.
Yep. Yes, for sure.
I think respect is earned out of action too. Mm-hmm. So there's, I think I would put equal weight on both verbal and showing it.
Yeah.
And I would say too, with my quote unquote public figureness, it's there, but our life does not reflect that. Like, honestly, and I laugh about it with you, you're my only quote unquote famous friend. Like, there's there's like a circle, and you know what I mean? There's people that do what we do all the time, and you know, they're maybe all friends and all that. Like, we're not part of those groups. Like, our friends from college, from UT moved to Nashville. Like, well, I'm just not in that world a lot. Like, when I'm at work and I'm doing it, it's here, but it's almost a little bit, I hate to say isolated, that sounds unhealthy, but it's almost healthy for us.
It's like, in a bucket.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So our life doesn't feel like that.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm
saying?
Mine
doesn't either, actually. Yeah. I mean, because I think we could be doing two other jobs, and we'd still, if they had made us cross paths, we'd still be choosing to do this. We'd still be choosing to be friends. I'd still come over once a month and eat dinner.
Totally. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah,
and
yeah.
So I think that's really true, too. I think the people who get lost in, we are all public, and so we need to do this publicly, and we need to do that, da, 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 da. I think some of the most fun things I do, and the most life-giving things, I don't ever put on the internet.
100%, yes.
And because it's just my life.
Yeah. And it hasn't been like, when I talk about that personality gap, it's not just like, oh, we had a conversation one morning, and we identified it and got and moved on. It's been one of the, like, we've been counseling for it. It's a big deal for us. Social media as an example. How public do we want our family to be?
Yeah.
Rachel Cruz, great.
Right.
But like Winston Cruz and our kids and how much I want people to know about, you know, everything that we're doing on a Saturday morning.
Yeah.
Pretty small. And that's where she had a greater tolerance because of her personality.
Right.
She's
I don't
great.
Care.
Everybody's a party.
Right.
I'm like,
it's a party and we're all going to have fun and we're all friends.
Right.
And hey, by the way, what do you think about, have you ever done this with your kids? And can I get some ideas about the best movies or books that you've read this summer?
Yeah.
And I'm like, I don't care. And I don't know these people. They don't know me. I don't trust them.
I wonder if there are any public fives. I know a couple.
That's a good question.
I'm sorry,
I know
fives.
A couple of pastor.
We'll bond.
No. I know a couple of pastor fives, but I don't know any fives that are quite as public right now as other thing as other numbers. So
it'll
I
be a correlation.
Yeah, yeah. I'm
maybe
curious
not. You're gonna find somebody that's gonna blow.
But he balances me out well. Seriously.
Yeah.
Like.
Yeah.
I think there's a healthiness to how we've done life so far with my job and his job. Yeah. Our relationship, our family, working, even within the Ramsey thing. I mean, like, all of those dynamics, I think that we've we've created a very, but we've created a healthy path. I think we've made intentional decisions.
I think I have too. That's why, one of the things I learned in counseling and on-site is that water is always looking for its, you probably know this as a real estate guy, water is always looking for its level. It's always looking to meet water at its same level. And so I work really hard on being emotionally healthy and I'm super drawn to being friends with y'all, which tells me that y'all are probably more emotionally healthy than I am because I'm wanting to be around y'all a lot, you know? And so that's one of the reasons I wanted to do this is I think what y'all have modeled for me is a really healthy, fun relationship that has hard times and that makes hard decisions and has hard outside forces as well as inside forces that you have to deal with. And so I think y'all do it really beautifully.
Well, thank you.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
We're perfect.
That's what I brought you here to say.
Basically why I was like, oh,
our water
like...
needs to find Annie's water real quick. I know.
I'm feeling that good, Annie.
Okay, so do this for me and for my single friends who are listening. Because what is true in my life is Winston and Rachel give me better dating advice than just about anybody.
What?
I do think so. I think y'all...
Well, Winston, he's protective over you.
You too. Yeah.
Winston gets passionate.
Yeah, he is, which it really means a lot. I could get real teary about that, but I won't. yes, but y'all both have really good ideas, and but you know me really well, so you also... And you protect me really well, which I love.
And I'm
and
a
really
dude.
Appreciate.
So...
Right.
Like, I can see through it. And then we're Tony at the Wedge.
Right.
Okay. Sorry,
keep going. That just became the title of this podcast. I do like your names, and then I do this one little sentence, and I'm going to be like, this is where Tony hit the wedge. I don't have a choice. I have to. Okay, so for the single men and women out there, give me a piece of advice for each of them. For the single man who wants to get married, for the single woman who wants to get married, and she is not 22, she's probably mid-20s or early 30s or later. I don't care.
Are we doing like opposite gender? Or
no,
just...
I don't know. Just go.
Both and go.
Oh, my goodness.
I can talk to the guy.
Okay.
Two things. Marriage might not be for you for the rest of your life. That's a scary thought, but you need to give yourself the freedom to say, if I'm not going to be married, then I'm not going to be married. But if you are dating women or you're with women or you're with them enough to try to mess around with them emotionally or physically, you need to find it quick. Mm-hmm. And you need to find somebody who enhances your life to a degree that makes it better than it is today. That's who you're looking for. And I just think guys kind of can float too easily today. And I think that they need to force a decision to a head. I'm talking to like the 30, 32-year-old who may or may not be considering marriage. I mean,
right.
I'm not saying that you're trying to find the perfect, you know, you can't find the perfect one, but that doesn't exist.
Yeah.
You will marry somebody. And they will be, I don't believe in the soulmate. I believe in somebody who is going to show you God, show you Christ, make you become more Christ-like. Mm-hmm. And that can be through the mechanics of anybody, any girl. They can do that. Now, do you have varying degrees of pain that that will bring, depending on the baggage that they have and your all's personality differences and family and? Sure. But I wouldn't let that hold you back. It's kind of like a job thing. People that job shop forever for the perfect job, you need to like work on something while you work towards your dream job. Mm-hmm. And date around while you are evaluating, you know, and figuring out who enhances your life to that degree. Mm-hmm. But that's what I would say. But go listen to a professional because I'm not sure if that even made sense.
It did make sense.
Okay.
I thought that was great. What would you say to women, either of you?
I mean, I would say like your mid-20s woman who longs to get married. I feel like some people get sucked into the idea that marriage is going to fix it all. Mm-hmm. It's like, that's the only thing I want. And you have to be careful to not make that the idol, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, and it can be, because I think it's our culture, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's like, there are movies about it, love story. I mean, like, that's like everyone's dream. And I pray that if that's your heart and that's what you're wanting, that that becomes true for you, for sure. But I would say it's not going to be a fix-all.
Yeah. We need to hear that.
Mine's not as deep as
mine. No, that is really deep because even on your bravest day where you go, I know that the next thing I want that I don't have will not fix this. You go, but prove it.
Yep.
You know?
Totally.
Because you think, I know everyone says having a kid won't fix all this, but what if it did? Or I know everyone says having $10,000 in my savings account won't fix it.
I'll be good. And
it won't. I mean, there isn't a fix.
Yes.
There isn't a fix. And
you're
going to
marry an imperfect
person.
And if you're expecting that person to complete you, I think you're going to be disappointed.
Yes.
So the healthier you can
What's
be.
What's that movie that let us all astray?
Jerry Maguire. You complete me. I know.
Dadgummit, Jerry.
But man, we've seen girls. We're watching The Bachelorette right now.
Yes.
And there's a bunch of girls that believe that, and it's Listen, horrible to watch. You know what I mean? Where I'm like, if you worked on being healthier emotionally and spiritually, yep, when that time comes, you're going to be a gift to mm-hmm. your husband, not mm-hmm. a burden. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of women that they're just desperate. I mean, I hate to say it, but do you know what I'm saying?
Like, you're exactly right.
Yeah. So that's what I would say too.
Rach, I want you to talk about the Rachel Cruze show real quick.
Oh, yes.
It's like my favorite thing. You're like my own closest thing I'm ever going to know to Oprah. It's the best. Until you and I actually become friends with Oprah.
I know.
Until then, you're my Oprah.
Which will probably happen soon. Let's be honest.
If I'm going to meet her, I'm taking you with me. I mean, we're going to meet Oprah.
Number one. Forever.
I'll be at home. Hanging out. Just chilling. Maybe camping.
Oh my gosh. You and Paul.
You're Earl Grey.
And Paul. It's evaluating life.
Paul had no idea he was going to be on a podcast today.
Nope.
We'll have to send it to him.
Yeah, we'll send it to him.
Hey, Paul. Yeah, so the show it's about 20 to 30 minute per episode. Right now it's just on YouTube and Facebook. But I was doing these video blogs for years and years. And it kind of was a little bit of a business decision / what I wanted more of.
Yeah.
Of like, can we extend the content? Because the video blogs were 3, 4, 5 minutes long. Have fun segments, have different guests on, have a theme for the whole show. You know, just kind of this dream of like what that could be. And so, yeah, we did a four test episode before I went on maternity leave with Caroline. So I'm like 9 months pregnant.
Yeah.
Which is
awesome. So good though.
Oh, but yeah, but it's just so fun. It's really is. So yeah, so we're doing that now. At this point, every other week.
Yeah.
Hopefully, if it continues, we can.
I just love
do weekly, maybe daily.
Yeah.
Way in the future, who knows?
My gosh.
So yeah, it's just
okay,
it's
Oprah,
a really
I see you.
It's fun. It really is. I enjoy it so much. So.
I love it. You're really. I think you are one of my favorite people to watch do that stuff because you have the same gifting spirit feel of like. Oh, that's my friend Rachel. I mean, I know you are my friend Rachel, but I think the feel you put across is that's my friend Rachel.
Good, yes.
Who's getting to do this.
Yeah, and the content's obviously money-based, if you will, but life and relationships, hacks, I mean, all the above. So that's kind of the content of it. So yeah, I try to be Rachel here and Rachel there. And
Okay, here's what we'll tell people, too, is that I just tried to buy a house and I didn't get it, which made us all very sad.
I'm so disappointed.
But the other people got it because they had a bigger down payment. So it's making me really reevaluate how I am doing money. So I'm going to start using every dollar.
Yes.
So will you come back in a couple of months and we can talk about how actually have it? Because I have a budget in my head, but I don't write it down anymore. Mm-hmm.
That's not a budget.
But
I'm kidding.
You're right.
She didn't even think.
She didn't even think.
I mean,
that
you
is
need
like,
a visual.
I need a visual.
To let it work.
So now I'm going to start using every dollar. Is that what it's called? The app?
Yes.
I'll do 6 months of every dollar.
Yes.
And then you come back and we'll talk about it. And then maybe we'll do some sort of coupon code for our people if it works for me.
So fun.
If I can have a better down payment for a house so that I don't lose it. So I don't lose the perfect house to someone else.
It makes me sad.
I know. It was a hard day. That was a hard couple of days there. Okay. Last question. And then we'll go. Because Winston has buildings to build and you have you have money for people to save. The last question we always do on the show is because it's called That Sounds Fun. We have to say what sounds fun to you right now. So there's no limit. Financial, calendar. I'll take care of Caroline and Amelia. They can go with you.
Like what's I just fun make anything
you?
Up that
anything
I can do.
Anything like my favorite. I've listened to some of your podcasts. Yeah. Obviously we're friends. One of the Michael Ware,
and he
said water parks.
Yes, he wanted to go to a water park.
Sounds fun. I was like, that's a great answer.
Yeah,
so I gotta find something.
Also, people sometimes say take a bath or go to the beach or
simple
fly. Yeah, it can be simple
like
or crazy.
Right.
I mean, Barnes said go to the beach, and he's a 7, but it's just because he's tired of being in pain in the cold.
That's true.
Oh, I love the cold.
Ugh.
Yeah, I think mine's easy because I feel like I've got it on the calendar already.
Oh, good. Go.
My birthday's in March.
Yes.
And I don't ever do this, by the way. Because I work, and then I go home, and I'm a dad, and then I go back to work. And I have some fun in there, too. Like, those are good things. But I'm getting out of town, and I'm going to meet Paul and another friend from UT back in the day.
Uh-huh.
And I'm going to have a birthday weekend in Chattanooga.
Oh, my gosh. That's so fun. So y'all stay?
Yeah. Most people are like, oh, cool. But I haven't done that.
There's so much outdoorsy
things. Since I can remember.
Yeah.
Fun is relative.
Yes. Fun is absolutely relative. I think you're doing that just right.
But, yeah. We'll party down there.
Okay. What sounds fun to you, Rach?
I'll jump off that little springboard and say Las Vegas with Annie Downs and Chris T. Rice.
I can't believe we're doing it.
We're going to Vegas for my 30th birthday.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Plane tickets and hotel. I mean,
like, to me, that was one of those things where, like, we talked about it, and I thought, I really hope. And then we're really doing it. We've already bought everything.
We bought Circus Soleil tickets.
Let's talk about every dollar. Like... One of the notifications.
Rachel bought everything, and we're paying her back. That's
okay,
what people
need
to know.
Well, Michael Jackson comes into my bank account. I'm like, what is Michael Jackson doing in our bank account? Oh, Vegas.
Vegas
is not ready for y'all. So.
No, listen. Vegas
gonna
is
be
not
nuts.
Ready for us. It's going to be
so fun. Oh, gosh. So we have friends from Minneapolis that are coming in town today.
Yeah.
So they're staying with us this weekend. And that sounds so, like, being with friends for me is so fun. And so they're a great couple that we love and that we're, like, great friends with. And then, so I think
y'all just went to visit them not long ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember. Yeah.
And then Vegas, like, just things with friends.
It's coming. It's, like, so soon. It's,
Annie,
like, just a couple months.
Oh, I can't wait.
We
were trying to book the plane tickets, and we had Christy, Annie, and I were all in the same text message. So we're trying to figure out times for our flights. And Annie was like, oh, I have something. So I could do the 2 o'clock flight. But if y'all want to fly out the 9 o'clock flight, you can. I was like, excuse me. Why would you get an option to fly across the country without you? So we're like, absolutely not. This is game on.
Oh, it's
going to
be
way.
So fun. I can't wait.
Not wait.
You guys, thanks for being on the show.
Annie, thanks for having us.
What you know personally that I'll say publicly is I just love being friends with y'all.
Oh. We love you, Annie.
I am super grateful.
Oh,
we love you too.
We love you so much.
Yay for being on the show. Good job, Winston. You did it. Your third podcast ever.
Woo!
Unbelievable.
Man, I told y'all, aren't they amazing? So wise. Both of them are so wise. And I am always amazed at where conversations go because I know this shocks all of you, but I don't plan as much as I probably should before we hit record. And so the different topics that Rachel and Winston and I hit, some of them were in my mind and some of them absolutely weren't. And I'm just really grateful for this conversation and for them. Make sure you follow Rachel across all places on the internet. She is Rachel Cruz everywhere. And she's Rachel Cruz, not Rachel Cruz everywhere, but everywhere you want to find her, she is Rachel Cruz. And make sure you tell her thanks for being on the show. I think that is it for today, my friends. If you need anything from me, I'm embarrassingly easy to find. I am Annie F. Downs across every part of the internet, anywhere you would need to find me. Hey, if you get a chance and want to rate and review the show, that would mean the world. It just makes sure other people know they are welcome here and what a fun place we have around here. So that would be great if you have time to do that. And as always, go out there and do something that sounds fun to you today. I will see you guys next week.